This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on People Speak Radio. This People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 805-399-1000, entering access code 769608, pound when prompted. If you're on a smartphone or a computer, you can go to bbsradio.com and navigate to Station 2. Click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with a call-in question for our guest. Toll-free USA, Canada, 1-888-429-5471. This evening, our guest is a former Secret Service agent that was on the Kennedy detail the day of that assassination of John F. Kennedy. Mr. Tagg, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Can you fill us in on what your evidence of the killing is and what you witnessed that day?
Well, I'm not Secret Service.
Oh, you're not?
I don't know where you got that from.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. What were you, sir?
I'm just a regular civilian.
Oh, okay. And you were there when you witnessed everything?
Yes, I was in Dealey Plaza that day.
Okay, and give us
I take it you haven't even read my book.
To be honest with you, sir, I got it a couple of days ago, and I haven't had time. I looked and breezed through it a little bit, but go ahead and fill us in on your book, sir. It's called LBJ and the Killing of Kennedy. Can you
the name of it is LBJ and the Kennedy Killing.
Yes.
101 chapters with 101 stories in it. You know, I have no idea which story you're interested in.
Well, we're interested in what happened that day and what you witnessed.
Well, of course, I witnessed Kennedy being killed. That was the main thing that happened that day. I think everybody was in Dealey Plaza witnessed that. And during the shooting, one of the shots missed and hit the street, and debris from the street hit me in the face, which put me in the history books. But
So you're a part of that magic bullet thing that hit the curb, is that correct?
No, see, the FBI tried to hide that from the public for 6 months. And in June of 64, when the Warren Commission announced they were through with their investigation, we were going to write the report, and the first shot hit Kennedy, second one Conley, and the third shot Kennedy. I raised my hand. I says, what about the missed shot? And that's where they realized they had a missed shot and had to go back. And all of a sudden, it was a fact. And they had to rewrite the Warren Commission. And to make things fit, this is where they came up with the magic bullet. That
I
changed
see.
History.
Sir, what was the rate of the succession of fire? How fast were the rounds fired, to your knowledge?
Well, in comparison with Kenny O'Donnell and his buddy in the car behind Kennedy's, we all came up with probably a fraction over 3 seconds between the first and second shots, and then the second and third shots were the crack, crack of two rifle shots right on top of each other.
Okay, so the first one was 3 seconds apart from the other two, and the other two were right on top of each other.
The first and second shots heard were 3 seconds or better apart. The second and third shots heard were right on top of each other.
Yeah, that which would be very impossible for a bolt action rifle, especially the 6.5.
Impossible.
Absolutely. Impossible. I'm a precision shooter myself, and I know how impossible that is. So from there on, you did your own investigation, I gather, onto...
No, I tried to forget it, let it go away. I had a family to raise, career to follow, and through the years, things started dropping in my lap, and one right after another, and after about 45 years, enough had dropped in my lap, I knew the answers. And that's when I decided to write my book, LBJ and the Kennedy Killing. And it's really, I really wish you had read the book. Then we could
I sincerely apologize. I got it a few days ago, and I haven't had time to...
I've done close to 100 interviews, and one of the things I've requested anybody I do for give them an interview is to read my book. And this is a rare time that I'm talking to somebody that hasn't. Because you can't stand up in the theater and say, Johnson did it. You have to go through what I have learned through the years and the people I've met, the insiders, to understand how one could come to that conclusion. Now, three of us have come to the same conclusion altogether. Roger Stone and Barr McClellan. Barr was Johnson's attorney. And, of course, everybody knows Roger Stone, active in politics. But between the three of us, we document Lyndon Johnson being behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It's 2 years in the planning. And it was not a one lone nut assassin. It was a well-planned assassination. And when I mention assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald's been cleared, and nobody will accept that. It's been Oswald the assassin for years, and people's now ready to accept a couple other authors that's really gone to great lengths to document it. But let me give you an example. We've known for 45 years Lee Harvey Oswald was seen in the lunchroom on the second floor by one of the ladies 15 minutes before the assassination. We also know that he was seen in that same lunchroom 75 seconds after the assassination by the building manager and policeman Marion Baker. Now, that's 45 years we've known he was seen in the lunchroom 15 minutes before the assassination and 75 seconds after the assassination. The building manager and the policeman both swore he was calm, cool, collected, and not out of breath. Well, we've had to live with that. Now, we've documented, not I personally, but others have, that the stairs were in use and not by Oswald. Chapter I donate in particular that I found right in the 26 volumes, which I own 26 volumes, Roy Truly, the building manager, he testifies how the assassins escaped, and nobody's even picked up on it in all these years. Anyway, that's one of my chapters, The Escape. But anyway, I go into a lot of new things that clears and answers a lot of questions. The killing started back in 1951. Lyndon Johnson's sister's boyfriend was the first one killed by Malcolm Wallace, who was put in, well, he's put up to the killing by Johnson, and he is actually caught, put on trial, first degree murder in Texas. Normally in Texas back in 51, 52, is a death sentence. Well, of course, the jury found him guilty. He was seen walking out of where he killed John Kinzer. That was who the boyfriend was. And but the judge gave Mack Wallace a 5-year suspended sentence for first-degree murder in Texas in 1952. There's all kinds of little... Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like people are getting away with things. I have a question for you as far as the actual shooting itself. How close were you to the vehicle when the rounds went off?
I was standing down to the triple underpass. My car was stopped in traffic about to exit from under the triple underpass. I got out of my car to see what was going on when I heard the pop of a firecracker. Actually, it was the first shot.
So you were approximately how far away would you say you were, sir?
Away from what, sir?
From the motorcade when?
Well, at the time of which shot? I mean, the motorcade is moving down Elm Street, which is a twisting street towards me, directly at me, during the shooting. And the school book depository from where I was standing is almost 400 feet away. And I would say the first shot occurred about 200 feet from me. And the next two shots were 50, 75 feet from me.
Oh, that's fairly close. I was looking at a YouTube video of a new film that's been put out there in high quality by Zapowder or something like that. And it shows the trajectory of the bullets. You know, it doesn't seem like the bullet traveling from the right. And then I'm guessing that the building, the book depository, was on the right-hand side of Kennedy. And we see the top of his skull blowing out from the top. So, and the direction of the spray of blood insinuates that the bullet came from somewhere from his bottom left as an entry wound. What evidence have you gathered as far as the entry wounds? And
I don't try to pin down all the wounding and this, that, and the other. There's some obvious mistakes that's been made, and I don't try to get into them. I go into the fact that I determined that the evidence was dumped in my lap. Lyndon Johnson was behind the assassination. As far as the shooting, there's all kinds of things that were deceptions. And let me explain something to you. It'll answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. When Lyndon Johnson was sworn in as president that afternoon, his buddy was in charge of the cover-up. His buddy was J. Edgar Hoover. He had two of the most powerful men in the world in charge that afternoon. There was nobody to run to if somebody figured it out. And that explains why we got such a poor Warren Commission report. The 26 volumes of the Warren Commission do not reflect what was exactly found. A lot was ignored.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network with our guest, James Tagg. James, in your book, you stated that Gerald Ford had told Arlen Specter to change the wound trajectories on the actual report.
Yes, this was discovered in 1972 when the Assassination Review Board was trying to get all the information gathered up for our National Archives. And J. Lee Rankin turned in all of his notes. He was chief counsel for the Warren Commission. And in those notes he turned in was where Gerald Ford, who was one of the seven members, had told Arlen Specter to raise the back injury, which was 4.5 inches below the back, up into the neck. This was so they could get one bullet to line up to go through two people. Did not happen. This was a major lie in the Warren Commission. This is directly, this was all solved in 1992. Very little press on it, but anyway, the couple reporters did at that time contact then-retired President Ford and ask him why he had done that. And he says, well, for the sake of accuracy. And that was the end of it. But the autopsy figures that Dr. Humes had made and the drawings and everything, the first shot hit Kennedy in the back 4.5 inches below the collar line. Now that is the shot that Gerald Ford had Specter raise up into the neck. There were no pictures in the Warren report, all drawings. So this was easy to get by with. Now, I'm not going to blame everybody for making up a big lie, but they were trying to get this over with and get America to go on with life.
Well, that's the only way that they can cover up is by putting up their own independent investigations and giving people the official report. But now, as things come along, we find out that a lot of these official reports are falsified.
That's correct.
Okay, and what else in your findings do you think also prove your case in your book saying that LBJ did it?
Well, to give you an example, in 1988, I'm on a plane flying to New York. I get to talking to the lady next to me. Turns out her name is Madeline Brown. She's Lyndon Johnson had been Lyndon Johnson's mistress for 21 years. She had quite a tale to tell. I don't think I believed it. And I put it in the back of my mind and didn't think much about it. And then I started running into other people by just simply living in and around the Dallas area for the last 50 years. And I was running into insiders that started telling me the same story. And after you run into about five of them, and they all corroborate what the other one had to say, and they were all friends with each other, then you start digging a little bit, and you start looking at the murders that's been mentioned. Yeah, the murders are in the paper and documented. One especially that was public was, was Henry Marshall, the federal ag agent, that was looking into Billy Shaw Estes' business about his giving paybacks to Lyndon. And so Billy Shaw and Lyndon had a little conversation about it. Lyndon said, well, I'll solve that real easy. Just give Henry a big promotion, get him a promotion to Washington, D.C., about triple his pay, and that'll get him out of the way. Well, Marshall didn't buy into it. He said, no, I'll pass. About 48 hours later, he was dead. He'd shot himself in the side five times with a bolt-action rifle. Any one of the shots would have killed him. The J.P. was forced to rule it was a suicide. One of the key people was Clint Peoples, Texas Ranger. Clint found out the service station operator right down the road from Henry's place, Henry Marshall's place. Somebody had asked directions that day, that afternoon. So he got a Texas Ranger artist to go down there and have him draw a picture of who the person was that he saw. And after the drawing was done, Clint Peoples looked at it. He says, I know who that is. And then it dawned on him. He had also investigated the John Kinzer murder 10 years earlier that Mac Wallace had done. And it started adding all up. Now, the interesting piece of history is that Clint Peoples retired from the Texas Rangers, and after he did, President Nixon promoted him to a federal marshal. 1992, Clint announced, it was June of 92, that he was going to blow the lid off the Kennedy assassination. And he hinted he was going to name Johnson as being behind it. 4 days later, Clint Peoples was dead in a one-car automobile accident. And I'm just giving you a taste of some of the things that's in my book. This is not something I dreamed up or put together. This is facts I've put together in history. It's backed up for documents in Texas history and so on down the line.
Right. Richard Belzer wrote a book called The Hit List, and it seems to mention a lot of people that were taken out and they were murdered and just mysteriously dying in different ways. So
Penn Jones was the one that wrote the original book.
Okay.
Forgive my grief.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Also, in your book, you were stating that they tried to finger you off as the assassinator in the Martin Luther King murder?
That was a joke. I had become friends with Harold Weisberg early on, and for 35 years. Now, Harold was the granddaddy of all researchers, and he's the one that originally filed under the Freedom of Information Act to get the FBI documents released. I mean, one night, about 10 years after King had been assassinated, he just got the documents released. He called me up one night and said, I got something you're going to get a kick out of. I says, what? He says, well, I'll send it and let you know. About a week later, I get this folder, and in it, it's The paper's titled the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Martin Luther King Assassination Suspect, James Tague. Well, I'd been investigated for King's assassination. And, I did get a laugh, but didn't find out about it till 10 years after King had been assassinated.
Okay. One of our listeners in Ohio by the name of Tim is asking this question, and it comes at the right time. He wants to know, Mr. Tag, if at any time you have received threats or blackmail or harassment because of your views on the assassination.
No.
Okay. And another listener wanted to ask if you were a Democrat or a Republican at the time, and what are your feelings, or did the assassination change your feelings on the American
government? I was neutral. I don't remember how I voted in 1963.
Okay. So one more listener, Mike in California, is asking if you think that the mafia had anything to do with it, but evidently not. You're stating that LBJ was behind it.
Well, it's a known statement that Lyndon Johnson made. He didn't want the mafia to have anything to do with it. He's afraid they would blackmail him for the rest of his life if they did. Now, that doesn't mean there was some rogue CIA or maybe some rogue mafia in there somewhere. But as far as the mafia formally getting into the 2 years of planning, Johnson didn't want that.
And Johnson is a native of Texas, or am I...
Johnson's a native Texan. I was proud that he was going to be our president, that he was our president, and I did not want to believe what I started learning.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. But as you put everything together, we see that there's a lot of shady people in our government.
Well, it's a tale of corruption. Now, the first few reviews are coming in on Amazon, the first two of them, regard my book. I think one of them says it's a masterpiece on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And another one followed up with the same thing. Because there's nothing in there that I've read anywhere. Everything in there is what hit me, something I found out face-to-face talking to people. And one thing... In particular, I take great pride in. I've been doing interviews for now 3 or 4 months building up to the 50th anniversary, and I was about through with my book about 3 months ago in Dealey Plaza. Guy walks up to me and says, "You James Tague?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Here's something you might want to add to your book." Well, I got home and looked at it. It is a Russian KGB report on who was Lyndon Johnson. And it was translated, of course, into English. And in 1965, the Russians had determined that Lyndon Johnson was behind the assassination. I put that 19-page report in my book. My book's 448 pages, 101 chapters, 101 stories.
Wow. We have another question from Frank in Wisconsin, and he wants to know if you think George Herbert Bush played any part in the assassination of Kennedy and Coup d'etat that occurred then.
I keep, through the years, when I was narrowing down writing my book, that kept popping up to me, and I never could put anything together that definitely tied him into anything. I knew George, the younger George, at one time first name basis with him. But no, I never could. I didn't put anything in my book which I couldn't nail down.
Oh, very good, very good. And Cheryl in Massachusetts wants to know if you think that the assassination of RFK was also a conspiracy.
It was a coup, government takeover, 2 years in the planning. Johnson was a very sick man, a bipolar alcoholic maniac. And the books are starting to come out. last 6 months of his life as president, he was drunk. They didn't even, his crew, the people around him, would not let him run for president again in 68. He was fully eligible to run. He's got one daughter that is not Lady Bird. She's out in California, executive in the movie industry. And I think she is coming out with a book or movie. I don't know. I hear she is. But the secretary was Mary Margaret Wiley, Johnson's secretary. He got pregnant, and Jack Valenti had eyes on her, who, after Jack left the employee of Johnson, he took over the movie industry until he died in 1997. And he raised this daughter as his own.
Wow. Another question from Tom in Kentucky. He wants to know why the Kennedy family, the rest of the Kennedy family, hasn't been speaking out about anything like Ted Kennedy and all the others. Do you think that they were threatened in any way to where they had to stay quiet?
Caroline started to talk about him about 3.5 years ago. And one of the statements she said that her mother had said was she thought that big oil in Texas had been behind it. And she's partially right, because one man in particular, Clint Murchison, supplied some of the money. I don't think, I'm not going to go into that. Now, I go into the Murchison meeting in my book. You're going to have to read that. This is a semi-murky area with truth to it. And you're going to have to read that chapter to understand. We don't have enough time to go into that area. But, yes, Caroline came out about 3.5 years ago that her mother had said before she died that she thought some Texas big oil was behind the assassination, which was partially true. Big oil was not was not behind it. That doesn't mean that there was but one or two that were. I worked for a billionaire oil man myself, and I know that he was not involved in any part of it.
Right. Well, there are, of course, controlling factors that do actually control the government that are in big oil. That seems to be obvious to a lot of people, and, of course, with the prices of gas and oil. I have a question from Harold in Tennessee, and he wants to know what you think the main motivation was for the men that killed. Of course, money, but besides that.
Well, okay. You got to understand that the public loved John F. Kennedy, Jackie and John F. Kennedy. Washington, D.C. as a whole hated his guts. He was changing everything there. I mentioned big oil. Kennedy was going to do away with the oil depletion allowance. Federal Reserve. He'd done away with the Federal Reserve in the summer of 63. CIA. He had on his desk paperwork, go to Congress and strip the CIA of all their power. And he just went right around the cabinet there in Washington, D.C., the big money, the power, and they wanted Kennedy out of there.
Okay. Kitty in Australia wants you to expand your thoughts for the coup and the takeover, but I believe you just explained it in a short manner. She wants to know if you can expand on it some more.
What was the question again?
She wants to know if you can expand on your thoughts for the coup.
Well, okay. There were a lot of people involved in this by keeping quiet. You know, I'm talking about probably some very good men, the pillars of the community. They were so glad that Kennedy was out of there that just kept their mouths shut from what tidbits they had heard. This is the reason that Hoover had so little trouble of covering up the whole thing. You got to remember now, everything the Warren Commission got came through the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover. That was not a big deal. And if you go back and you compare what Hoover said happened 48 hours after the assassination, that was what the final Warren report came up with. And I put this all in my book. I walk you through it step by step so you can understand it. And none of it is thoughts or thinking about something. It's something that's documented. And I tell you, right where you can go. And a lot of it I found right in the 26 volumes. And I tell you the volume and the page to go to find out what I'm talking about.
Right. Once again, his book is LBJ and the Kennedy Killing. Another question for you. John in Ohio wants to know what you think it would take to get the truth about the JFK and the full investigation that will ultimately lead to some kind of justice or closure on this aspect in history.
Well, there's three of us have laid the truth out step by step, and it's to myself, Roger Stone, and Barbara McClellan. And it's there if you want to read it. Of course, certain people don't want to accept the truth. They read certain books. They want to believe certain things. But it's a simple, simple story. There's nothing deep or distant. It's a story of a man who was sick that wanted to be president. And that was Lyndon Johnson. And he put it together, him and his cronies. Now, Lyndon Johnson didn't pull any triggers or didn't have anything to do with any shooting. He was on the floorboard of his car when the shooting of the Secret Service car when the shooting occurred. But he knew it was coming down. J. Edgar Hoover, one of the sickest people that's ever been in our government. You have to look up, and the truth is coming out about him. If people want to read the books that bore into the details of this, with the truth, not something some of them made up out of their head. The truth's all laying there.
Okay. Fred in Alabama wants to know who you support in the political system nowadays. Do you see any candidates worth supporting?
Now, that's a very political question that has nothing to do with the Kennedys.
Right. Just asking the questions that they're putting up for me, sir.
I understand. No, I'm ready for a change, if that'll answer your question.
Aren't we all? That answers yours, sir. Maybe we can touch base also on how they tried to cover up the missing pieces and your injuries and everything of that nature. Were you hospitalized for those injuries?
No. The bullet hit the street. It is probably cement spray that hit me in the face hard enough to break the skin. No doctor, no nothing, just I felt it. I knew it happened. It brought blood, broke the skin, and in the excitement of the moment, I forgot it until a policeman says, you got blood on your face. And I reached up, felt my face, and then I remembered something stinging me during the shooting. So, no, it was not a serious injury, but it was enough to bring forward or force out the fact that there was a missed shot that Hoover was trying to cover up and had covered up for 6 months.
Okay, and as far as the direction of where that bullet came from, would it be from the book depository, or would it be from a different direction?
All right, from where I was at the down to the Triple Underpass, the Grassy Knoll School Book Depository and the Dow Text Building, all line up side by side. Not like I'm facing them, but like they're side by side. There probably wouldn't have been 10, 15-degree angle between the difference in any of them. So to say where it came from. It could have come from any one of them.
Okay, my next question is, as a motorcade is going down the street, I'm trying to get a visual of it from you. As it was going down the street, was the book depository on the left-hand side of the presidential vehicle or on the right-hand side of the presidential vehicle?
As the president's car is coming down Elm Street towards the Triple Underpass, everything's on his right-hand side.
Okay. I have another question from a listener, Tom in Alaska. Why do you think J. Edgar Hoover held so much power in our government for so long?
Well, for one reason, he had a, just like the Warren Commission, the first thing he did is when they had a sex doge on each one of them that he didn't already have one on. And if he wanted to jerk somebody's lid, he could. And that went for almost any political person in America. When he'd been 40-some years as head of the FBI. Now, when he died, I won't repeat what Nixon said when he found out he died, but Nixon had his office sealed off so those documents couldn't get away. What Nixon didn't realize, they were kept in the outer office with his secretary, who had been his secretary since the day he'd started the FBI back in the 20s.
Oh, wow.
And they hauled that, those documents were the first thing got out of there when Hoover died. A lot of it would have answered many questions about the assassination. Hoover, to go back and put, Hoover was a crook.
Okay. And Carol in Florida wants to know if you ever filed a Freedom of Information Act request for any FBI files they may have had on you?
Yes. I joined with Harold Weisberg on at least two different types of Freedom of Information files.
And she wanted to know if Mr. Hoover was aware of you, of course.
Oh, yeah, they're very much aware of me. And I put some of the FBI documents in my book. If you want to see what Hoover had on me, which wasn't very much. See, Hoover, when I first spoke up, Hoover tried to spear me. He wanted me to go away, and the way the FBI did it, it was take a little person, which he regarded me to be, and just smear, and that way he would go away. But I had two U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney Generals in Dallas speak up and stand up for me and send photographs in where that bullet had hit the curb and other people that had seen the debris fly up and stopped him in his tracks.
Wow. Amazing story. Very amazing. We've got a question here. I'm not sure how this is going to go over with you. Alan Omaha wants to know if you think that homosexuality and pedophilia run rampant in the U.S. government, and is that why people like J. Edgar Hoover held on to power for so long unchallenged?
Well, his boyfriend went everywhere he went. And Clyde Tolson was the assistant in the FBI. And Hoover had recruited him right out of college. And he went right up the ranks and lived with Hoover. And there was nothing said about it back then. It's just one of those things. Now, Clint Murchison, who was a dear friend of Hoover's, bought the racetrack out in California, racetrack, I wanted to say Del Mar, I'm not sure that was it, just so Hoover and Tolson would have a place to go bet on the horses a few times a year. And that was their connection. And you had this little gang, Sid Richardson, another billionaire old man. H.L. Hunt was involved in some way. And Johnson stole the 1948 election. And this is where it all started. The first murder was scared of a scandal over stealing that election. But Sid Richardson and Hoover and Clint Murchison, they were at the two parties celebrating the 48th Senate election. And they were there later on all the way through until he became sworn in as president.
Well, I've got a question from Joe in New York, and he wants to know if you think that 9/11 were a conspiracy and an inside job, as many people continue to claim nowadays.
That is, to my way of thinking, is silly thinking. People's entitled to think whatever they want to think. No, that was something that happened, and it is pretty clear what happened. If people want to think otherwise, they can think otherwise, but I think that's a little bit of silly thoughts they're having.
Okay. Well, since you are stating that it is time for a change, who do you think we should be looking at to run our government?
I don't know what we need to do. I really don't. I'm very active politically. And I know our president was elected by a lot of people that didn't do much thinking. Well, yeah, they did think. They got a free phone, a lot of them. And such as that. That's got to turn around. Now, there's some good people out there that didn't vote. And these are the people that need to think about it and get out and not sit home anymore, but get out and vote. We've got some good people. I'm real proud of Ted Cruz right now in Texas.
Yeah, Ted Cruz was really standing out against Obama and his Obamacare plan. And Ted Cruz seems to be out there doing his job in a proper manner, but it seems like the rest of the congressional and senatorial players are really not there for the people, and they're there for their own pockets. How do you feel on that?
Well, the reason I like Ted Cruz, a lot of people don't realize it, but the year before Ted Cruz ran for the Senate, he made $1 million as one of the top lawyers in the United States, pleading cases for the Supreme Court, etc. In other words, he gave up a pretty good practice just to take a lowly United States Senate job. And now he spoke out and says what he feels. And I think that's the kind of person we need to run our country.
What do you think about Ron Paul?
I like Ron Paul. I don't know if he's presidential material yet or not. And I like Rubio, same thing, young. So I think the Republicans got some good people coming in. There's probably some good Democrats coming along. But we need a change right now. We don't need any more Democrats in. Now, you want him to get into some real sad stuff, dig in to Mrs. Clinton. She is not the person you think she is.
Oh, not by anybody's stretch of imagination, especially when she's part of the the Commission on Foreign Affairs. That's the same commission that Dick Cheney and George Bush and all of them seem to adhere to, other than to the American people.
Well, she...
The Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, I know, but her personal habits are starting to get out, and one story about her throwing an ashtray to and a Secret Service agent because he wouldn't carry her bag. And he told her that wasn't his job. And she says, well, I'll have your job in the morning if you don't carry my bag. And things like that are starting to come out. I don't like that, and somebody's going to be our president.
Well, yeah, well, demeanor is everything, and if you're going to throw ashtrays, that's really not the way to go. All right, any more that you can fill us in on?
No, I could take and talk to you for the next 2 weeks. I just urge people to buy my book. There's no speculation in my book whatsoever. It's facts. It's full of facts. And once you read it, you'll understand how John F. Kennedy was killed and how it happened. There was no great big secret, this, that, the other. It was 2 years in the planning, a professional job, and the cover-up was handled by a crook named J. Edgar Hoover, and it was all over.
Question for you on Lee Harvey Oswald, since you did your own investigation on him, and they had stated that he had gone to Russia. What was your investigation on Lee
Harvey Oswald? Had something to do with something. He was not the trigger man of Kennedy. A young lady named Vicki Adams and her girlfriend Stacy Stiles watched the motorcade from the fourth floor. And when the shooting was over, they ran down the stairs to get outside and see what had happened. Their manager, Mrs. Garner, followed over to the storage room, was right beside that stairs. Now, you remember, this school book depository is a wooden building. This is not a steel building. If somebody was on the stairs, you could hear it, whether he's on the first or sixth floor or what. You heard him. Well, Mrs. Garner testified, Barry Ernest found the letter from Martha Jo Stroud, who wrote to J. Lee Rankin in talking to Miss Garner about being there by the stairways, and nobody, after the girls went down, used the stairway until the building manager and Marion Baker, the policeman, came up. This is documented now. No Oswald on the stairs, period. Two Barrys, Barry Crush and Barry Ernest, have both documented that. Matter of fact, Barry Crush offers a $25,000 reward for anybody can prove him wrong. But Lee Harvey Oswald, common sense tells you he's in that lunchroom. Now we've got it documented that he wasn't on the stairs. Now, also, I found where Roy Truey, the building manager, accidentally, the third time he testifies as to how the shooting crew got out of there. You got to remember, the first four floors of that building were offices of people that did business with the school book depository. And the two elevators, where the electricity was turned off, with the two elevators stuck on the fifth floor. And as soon as the shooting was over, the switch was switched back on for the electricity to where somebody could use one of those elevators. And they came right on down, just like they were doing business in the building. And that's in the 26 volumes of the Warren Report. And the Warren Commission never used it, ignored it. But it's right there for 50 years for somebody to pick up and read. And in my book, I tell you what volume, what page to go to read it. I even put part of it in one of the chapters.
Well, I want to read the whole book from the get-go, so...
Well, I start that day that I'm in Dealey Plaza, and I don't jump right into it. I go through it through the years, 50 years through it to the discovery, and where to find things, where to read it, document it, and it's there, and I recommend it. It's nothing but fact in there. There's no fiction. It's all All fact.
Awesome. One last question before we call it an evening, sir. Hank in Kentucky wants to know if you feel that John Jr., John F. Kennedy's son, was also killed to keep him out from opening his mouth.
I don't know. You know, I did not touch anything I did not know. I just, the only thing I put in my books, what I knew for a fact. Of course, there's been a lot of conversation on that, and I understand where your listener's coming from. It is one of those things that maybe we'll find out someday.
Well, that's great. Sir, I would like to invite you to come back again. And once again, his book is LBJ and the Kennedy Killing. I promise you, sir, I will read the book.
Please do. Amazon keeps running out, and no reordering, running out. And I think, I hope they got a big enough order the last time. Hadn't been out for 2 weeks, but I hope they got a big enough order to last them at least through this weekend.
Oh,
Barnes and Noble stays out.
That's good. And Mr. Tagg also has a website, jttagg.com. That's jttague.com. And this is Rock Cash, your host here on the BBS Radio with the People Speak. Thank you for joining us this evening, and have a good night. Next week we will have Mr. William Thomas on the chemtrails and 9/11. He's a researcher. He's been doing it for quite a while. We're going to get all of his information next week. Join us here on the BBS Radio Network. Thanks again, Mr. Tagg. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry